Hey, what's up? Thank you for tuning in to another episode, episode 251 of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Arias. And guys, in this episode, I speak with Dr. Aaron Cassily. And this is an interesting episode. I really like it. We talk about the perfect practice model for Aaron. We also talk about how she found her location. And another thing I want to know, how many of you guys have like an awesome, amazing, extremely helpful supply rep? If you do, then you can relate really, really well to what she's going to be talking about in a portion of this episode. Her supply rep guided her pretty much throughout her whole startup process. Now, that's pretty awesome, right? Like somebody who goes above and beyond to kind of hold your hand or consult you throughout the process or coach you throughout the process. And so that's what she mentions in this episode. We also talk about how she spends right now about $1,200 on marketing, or that's what she was spending. Because this episode was recorded a couple weeks ago, and as you're going to hear, she barely opened. So the day I was recording this episode, she opened yesterday. So pretend we're recording it today, right? Like me and Aaron are recording it right now. She opened yesterday. So we get the 411 of how opening day went, what she wished she did differently before and after, how much she's spending on marketing. And I'll keep in mind her location as well and where she's at, right? So I don't want you to think and be like, oh, she needs to spend more, she needs to spend less, she needs to do this, right? She's learning throughout the process. But at the same time, it's also according to her demographic and her community. We also talk about how throughout the opening process and opening day, how any absurd thing that can happen pretty much happened when she opened up her practice and in the process of opening up her practice. If you think about it, I mean, a pandemic went through, we're experiencing a pandemic, so that's pretty absurd, but so many more things, and we talk about that and how she went through that. And one thing I really appreciate that she mentions is, and something I'm trying to work on is, she says, things will change. Don't get hung up on the initial stuff. And she gives us an analogy of, if you are like, oh my gosh, you know what? I don't know if that couch is going to do good. I don't know if I should keep it for the next 30 years. Maybe think about, or why are you even keeping a couch for the next 30 years, right? Don't get so hung up on like the color and all these things. Anyways, she explains it way, way better. So guys, I'm super excited to introduce you to Aaron. But before that, really quick, if you haven't yet, if you want to jump in more on the conversation on episodes and see more deals from our sponsors and our partners and so, so much more. And if you're on Facebook, then do me a favor, join the Dental Marketer Society Facebook group. I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes below. You guys can talk to me and my team more one-on-one there. We'll talk about the episodes, give away free stuff, give away deals from our sponsors, and so much more. So if you're on Facebook, go ahead and join that group. If you're on Instagram, join the Dental Marketer. That's my Instagram handle. And if you're not on social media, you can definitely join my email list. And I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes below as well. But anyways, guys, without further delay, here is Dr. Aaron Cassily. Aaron, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. I'm doing pretty good. So I want to jump into it. Let's talk about, if you don't mind me being really nosy right now, and can I ask about your past, your present? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, I am from Annapolis, Maryland, and I found myself down here in 2013. I had my husband and I had gotten engaged, and he was starting medical school at the DO school in Lewisburg at, West Virginia College of Medicine. Mm-hmm. And Lexington, which was 80 miles away, is where I found work. And we decided that we liked the area and wanted to stay. It kind of reminds me a little bit of a small Annapolis, but mountains instead of water.
Huh. So you went to Lexington because... or you decided to stay there because of the environment, like how everything looks?
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It's a nice, small community. Everybody's very friendly. It was a little bit of a slowdown pace for from my East Coast upbringing.
That's interesting. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I wonder how it is in like Vermont, Maryland, around there right now. Like, I was watching some videos in the fall and I was like, man, I want to go over there one of these days, like make a little off-grid cabin, you know?
Yeah, Northeast, like Vermont, New Hampshire, it's just gorgeous. Maryland, it gets pretty, really pretty, but you just go further north and it's just rainbows of colors nonstop.
Man, I'm sold. Okay, so then, Aaron, really quick then, right now, are you in the process of thinking of doing a startup? You're making it already? You're in it? How is that?
Yesterday, we opened our doors.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay, so then let's super rewind all the way back. When did this start happening? Like the thought process of like, you know what? I'm going to make me a practice.
I'm going to make me a practice. So I went to school in 2012. And then I moved down here in 2013 after my husband and I had gotten married. And I found work at what was a free clinic turned health center. And in the interim, you know, it was nice being able to help patients, but the bureaucracy of working in a federally qualified health center and just that type of structured environment, I knew it wasn't what I wanted ultimately. I knew I wanted to be able to treat patients the way I wanted to and be able to take time with them and talk to them and not be on a, you have 30 minutes for this and you have to be finished with this and you have to see X number of kids that have this insurance. I knew that wasn't a practice model I wanted to have to feel good at night, to be able to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. So as that facility evolved and grew, they instituted a non-compete contract. So it was a 2-year non-compete with a 10-mile radius. And around here, 10 miles in either in any direction puts you out in the sticks. There's nothing. You're either on the Blue Ridge Parkway or you're in the middle of nowhere with no cell service. So I said, well, I want to work here. So I started thinking about how I wanted to leave there and come back. So 2.5 years ago, I left the health center and I started working at a different health center about 55 miles south of here in Roanoke. And then I transitioned into a private practice about 40 miles away, 40 miles west of here for the past year and a half while I was kind of evolving my plan. And about actually a year ago tomorrow, I bought a building in downtown Lexington in the historic district that was a old brewery and there was 2 apartments upstairs. So I was like, well, you know, if there's people renting these apartments, I'll be able to pay the mortgage on this while I do a startup. So I bought the building end of July last year, got my contractors together and started remodel the end of October, thinking I would be opening in March. So long story short, it is now the end of July and I am finally opening my doors, still trying to figure out how to open this practice because of all of the delays with, you know, equipment and instruments and PPE, just general repercussions of this whole pandemic.
So the delay mainly happened because let's just say there was no pandemic. Would there have still been a delay?
I probably would have ended up opening in April. I got my equipment through mid-March. So my delivery date for the equipment was middle of March and pandemic hit and our governor Northam put a stay-at-home order on the state. So I called my supply rep through Atlanta Dental and I said, hey, Mike, what do I do? Tell them to stop delivery on equipment. Do not have them deliver until we know what's going on. Because initially the stay-at-home order was until June 30th. So I was like, oh gosh, what am I going to do for 3 months if I have my equipment delivered? So that was the initial delay in terms of getting like the dental type stuff into this building. My contractors had been finished except for things like the front office cabinetry, because the manufacturer plants had shut down. That would have all been delivered middle of March as well.
Gotcha. Okay, so then let's rewind a little bit. How did you, when you were working for the health center that made you sign a non-compete, so then in that location where that health center was, would you say like dentistry is not that saturated in that, in your area right now because it's in a rural area, or would you still say like not saturated?
So in Lexington, they have this little funny saying where you've either read a book or you've written a book or you've never read a book. There are Washington and Lee College University and VMI, both are in downtown Lexington. So there's a lot of professors that are here. And then there's a lot of rural areas with most of the patient population on Medicaid. So there's this spread of population where there's two dentists in town who kind of cater more towards the boutique dentistry. And then you have the health center, which is supposed to be serving the underserved. So there's a saturation on the ends, but the middle of the road, your everyday working person is still struggling to find a dentist.
Oh, okay.
So no, there it's not saturated.
Gotcha. And then, so when you left the health center, the one that made you sign the non-compete, was it like a peaceful thing? You were able to leave and then kind of redo your, because you said you went to another health center that was further away.
So they were completely independent health centers. I had talked to my supply rep who, you know, knows all these different places. And he said, you know, you could go here. He kind of gave me a couple suggestions of what I could do, knowing what my long-term plan was. So, it wasn't necessarily peaceful, but I abided by every one of their rules and contracts. So it wasn't anything that was any type of fight.
Gotcha. So the supply rep pretty much guided you through a lot of this process, right?
He has, yes.
Wow. Okay. So, and then who did the supply rep work for?
So at the time he was working for Banco, and then in the interim, before I bought the building, he switched over to Atlanta Dental.
Gotcha. How'd you find the building?
I was just having a really rough day working at the health center, being frustrated by the politics of it. And I was talking to a friend of mine and he said, you know what? Blue Lab is for sale. And I was like, you're crazy. No, I'm not going to buy Blue Lab. And I went and I looked at it with him and Mike, my supply guy, and they both were like, no, you can do it. And I was like, you guys are nuts. No, this place looks like a disaster. And it was. And I bought it.
So then is that when it kind of became like, when did it start becoming real to you right there? It's like, oh my gosh, I'm really doing this.
No, it's not real. Like, I came to work yesterday just like any other day. I went home, I still fought with my little girl, I still had to like put the dogs out, I still had to do all the normal chores. It's still just a normal, it isn't real. It's just everyone's like, are you excited? Well, yeah, heck yeah, I'm excited. But I know this is what I wanted to do. So this became like the natural progression of what I should do. You know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you get an A on your report card. And I don't know if this is the overachiever in me or the disciplined kid who got in trouble if they didn't live up to what they should. But, you know, I got an A. I wasn't super excited. I was like, okay, good. Thank goodness. I'm not going to get in trouble for this. You know, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah, it does. It's like, I remember when I got an A, I was super excited because I sucked at math. But then my parents were like, this is the normal. I don't know what you're excited about. This is what you should have been getting. And I'm like, okay. Like there was no.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of how my parents raised me too. And, you know, now my parents have come down and looked at the building and my dad's like, all right, looks good. And I'm like, that's it? Like, no, nothing else? Like, there's no excitement there? So
So in reality, you are excited. Like, that's more of like your wait. So Aaron, do you think you're trying? Would you say some of this was because, I mean, obviously a lot of it's because like you don't want to deal with the politics and everything like that. But another part of it is like, I really want to wow my parents or my dad.
Maybe. I don't know. They've always been pretty good at letting me guide my own path, really.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a thing. Like, what can I do to help? No, I don't know. Let me just figure it out. So I've always been pretty independent in that regard and just kind of been like, all right, let's just do it. There's a million reasons not to, but let's just see what happens if we do it.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of mindset of it. I'm not one to overthink too much, I suppose.
Yeah. That's good. Then let me ask you, because a lot of the times, and I don't know, you can agree or disagree with this. Some people say like, I finally opened up my startup, and they kind of view it as like a finish line almost, right? Or like, that's the end of this book onto another book or something like that, or chapter, or whatever. Mm-hmm. To you, would you say like, no, this is just the middle of a paragraph. It's not like I finally opened it up. I'm like, you know, on mile 4 out of 100 miles. And where is the finish line for you?
We're at the starting line. We've gone through the training. We've run all the marathon. We've run all of the training miles you need for the marathon. And right now we're standing at that start line, just kind of antsy, like, all right, we can go. Like, let's go. I know I'm going to be tired. I know this is going to kind of stink sometimes, but it's going to be good. So I'm just at the beginning.
Where is the finish line for you?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Does there have to be one?
No, there doesn't. There doesn't even have to be. It can be like, hey, man, this is like a walk that I'm going to do for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? I like that. I like that answer, actually, that you asked or that you said, does there have to be one? That's a good viewpoint. To me, I don't know. You know what I mean? Because then I feel like you're always going to have to keep, oh, where's the next line? Where's the next one? So, but now I want to kind of get into the specifics of your startup, if you don't mind.
Sure.
How much was this whole remodel process?
Remodel or the building? So.
Or both.
So I bought the building for $260,000. And because, you know, we're in this like small town, they're like, okay, well, let's see if we get an SBA loan. Well, I couldn't because the bottom floor of this building somehow is 48% of the building and not 51%. How they did that math, I have no idea. The top stack's on top of the bottom, so I don't know how the top is bigger than the bottom, but apparently it is.
Yeah.
But I couldn't use an SBA loan. So I just got a traditional conventional loan for the building, created an LLC so I could pay the mortgage of the building through the LLC and have the renters pay me rent through that, which is really nice because they cover a good portion of the mortgage. And then my startup loan I got through PNC, and I got that for $395,000, kind of just being guided on by other people who had done startups and talking to the banker. She kind of also, I wouldn't say fudged numbers for me, but kind of gave me goal points of, okay, well, this is kind of where you want to be if you're thinking about doing this. And I'm like, well, okay. So I got that loan and my contractor fees were $120,000. And what that included was pretty much gut the entire bottom floor of it, put firewalls between the building, between the floors, and just redo everything. So I was able to save some costs on that because a friend of mine, actually the friend that convinced me to buy the building, is my electrician. So everything was at cost, and I spent pretty much every weekend in here becoming an apprentice electrician.
Switching strategies.
I have it plumbed for 5 rooms, but I've only equipped 2 to start. And then I built pretty much like these big countertops to go over top of the open plumbing on the other side of the room. So that also is what has kind of helped me cut some costs. So up to this point, I've spent $250,000 for the start.
Gotcha. That's the building process, right? Does that include like the marketing and the employees and all that, or?
That's including everything at this point. That's including, well, not the building itself, but the build out and marketing, equipment, employees.
Gotcha. How'd you hire your employees?
So my office manager, she was actually working with me in the other office I've been in, and she was an assistant, but way overqualified, and she was pretty much done with being an assistant. So when I was able to talk to the staff there, it so happened to be right at the beginning of when everything was shutting down and we couldn't practice anyways. So he, my boss, you know, was doing what a lot of the other people were doing and basically laying off employees, and they were on unemployment. So I hired her with the idea of, you know, this is my starting line. Potentially down the road, we'll buy out that office and she can kind of become the liaison between the two. Mm-hmm. And then the other two employees, I have a receptionist and an assistant who I found on Indeed, and they both started last week and so far have been absolutely incredible.
Wait, you plan to buy out the other office?
Sure, why not?
What? You're like, yeah, sure.
I need to make some money so that I can do that.
Yeah, it's true. But like, has that always been in the plans, or that's just, when did that idea pop into your head?
So I've been working there for a year and a half, and I really enjoy the patients that are there. Mm-hmm. It's a old paper mill town. It's very, you think of like it's almost like it's the Industrial Revolution. You come up over the mountain and you can smell paper mill, like it just stinks. Mm-hmm. And you see the smoke and the condensation coming up out of the factory. And you're like, this is just a little working class town. And yes, I'm saying it stinks. I'm saying it's old, it's run down, but I love the patients. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of potential there to have a good practice because he's the only one. And I mean, they work. They're good, hardworking people. They deserve to have a good place to go.
And you feel like right now it's not a good place to go?
The office definitely needs some work. And I think that down the road, if I'm able to buy it out, I could make it just nicer for them.
Gotcha. Okay. So then right now you got your employees, you're ready to open. You opened yesterday. How did that go?
It actually went pretty darn well. Our first patient was our IT guy. We have a local IT company and he was a friend of mine. So he was actually our first patient. And so we got all the software kinks out, and he was very understanding. It took us about 4 tries to get a pan on him because of just the prompts that you have to go through on the software. And she wasn't hired yet whenever we had gone through the training for it a couple weeks ago. So I had forgotten to train her. But after he came in, we got that figured out, everything else went pretty smoothly.
Gotcha. And then so it was just the one patient that day, or do you have more?
We saw 6 patients yesterday.
Wow, that's good. So how did you get those patients besides the IT guy?
Word of mouth.
So then when it comes to like your marketing or like word of mouth, like what were you just doing for your marketing in general?
Word of mouth. Honestly, pretty much just word of mouth until last week. And I held off and I waited for a long time because I wasn't sure when we were going to be open because of all the delays, all the restrictions, And I didn't have a front office until 2 weeks ago because all of those cabinets were delayed. When my equipment was delivered, it was delayed even after it was said it was shipped. So I was very hesitant to do any kind of marketing and scheduling until I knew we had enough to get started. So we put out a radio ad on the local radio station and then a newspaper ad in the two local papers. Gotcha. And that has produced, I mean, it's only been a week at this point because the papers go out on Wednesdays. The weekly paper goes out on Wednesday. So it's only been a week that patients have been seeing this, and we've gotten a decent number of patients in. So that's awesome. I saw six yesterday. I think we have six today and six on Friday. And on Mondays and Thursdays, I'm still an associate at the other practice.
That's awesome. So then do you have like a specific amount that you recommend or that you have for like a marketing budget, like allocated?
Honestly, I don't have a recommended amount. I think that truly depends on where you're at. Being from Annapolis, the fees are just insanely different. So I think I've spent a total of $1,200 on marketing. And I know that's not realistic in terms of if I were in a city or I was in, you know, the mid-Atlantic, you know, DC metro area, it would be much higher. So I don't know. I don't know what other people have to go through in terms of that. Part of being in this rural area, it is really nice that you can do the word of mouth and it spreads much better.
Yeah. That's good. So then when it comes to like your vision for your practice, like let's just say I'm a patient, what do you hope for me to leave with once I leave your practice? Like, what do you want me to feel? Do I understand your mission statement? What is your mission statement? You know what I mean?
Yeah. For me, it's not about being the most aggressive dentist or the most flashy dentist or have the newest things. I want people to feel comfortable when they come in. I want them to feel like they can bring their family in. I want them to just to kind of come in and feel home. That's important to me. I have a 4-year-old who does dance class and goes to the local preschool. So having that little sense of community is really important to me because that's what pretty much drew me to this area, was the sense of community that is here. So I want people to feel like I am a part of the community. I want them to feel like they can trust me and they can come and know that I'm not here just to make a dollar. I'm not here just to show off what we might have as the newest practice.
Gotcha. You want to like come. So you live like, you don't mind if like you're at Target and then at like 11 at night getting ice cream and like your patients are like, hey, it's Aaron. Like you want that.
Well, let's just say the closest Target is 45 minutes away.
So no worries.
Wow. No, I don't mind that. It's such a small community. You know, when I was working at the health center, the Walmart was right across the road. And so that, you know, that became a little off-putting that you literally would leave work and patients would follow you from the parking lot into the Walmart parking lot as you grab your gallon of milk on the way home. And then they keep asking you questions. But if it's, you know, you're going to run into your patients. When I was working in Annapolis my first year out of school, I ran into patients all the time. And there's, you know, a million dentists in Annapolis. So it's going to happen, and I don't want to be far away from where I work. I've done that. That's too far. I want to be close so that I don't have to think about, oh, is there going to be traffic? Oh, I have to go stop into the office because I left this there. So we live just outside of town. It takes about 8 minutes to get here.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's not too bad. And yeah, you're right. Sometimes it is like a thing that will happen if you bump into somebody. So it's good to like kind of already have rehearsed that or encounter that. Right now, Aaron, throughout this whole process, what's been one of your like strongest struggles or like biggest fail or pitfall?
Oh my gosh. So I still don't have most of my supplies in.
Okay.
There has been obviously just a shortage of PPE and basic supplies. For example, when my equipment was delivered, it said it was shipped from Ohio, Mid-Mark in Ohio. Well, the Mid-Mark plant had shut down because they had to do a 2-week shutdown from COVID. So it actually wasn't shipped. So then it got down to Atlanta, where the headquarters of Atlanta Dental are. And as it was trying to be shipped out from Atlanta, that was when the height of the riots were. So it got stuck in Atlanta because of riots. So it got through Atlanta and it got held up somewhere in Southern Virginia at a transfer station. And because there's still so many people furloughed, they didn't have any truckers to ship my equipment from Southern Virginia to Lexington. So that's just an example of what's been happening pretty much this entire process. Is it's been one thing after the next. If it's not hard enough to start a business to begin with, you add a pandemic into the mix with unknown results. So any kind of absurd thing that could happen is pretty much happening. I drove back to my other office Monday night at like 10 o'clock at night to go borrow a lead apron because mine hadn't shown up yet, so that I could see patients yesterday and take x-rays. Just, it's anything and everything that could happen, you just laugh and say, yep, all right, that's happening right now.
Yeah.
So that has been the thing, is just the unpredictable things that even as someone who's done a startup can't say, yep, I told you that was going to happen, even though you didn't think it was going to. Because nobody's expecting any of these things. This is a new thing that's happening.
Yeah, that's so true. Like the other day I was talking to a practice startup too, and he told me, I think he saw like a picture, like a meme or something. And he's like, it's so true because there's hurricanes happening in Texas. And it's like, I don't know if I should like buy more hand sanitizer or more toilet paper. I don't know if I should buy a gun for the rioters and the looting, or I don't know if I should just buy like a generator for the hurricane in case our lights go out. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, we're in that time where it's like, I don't know what to do, you know?
But yeah, insane. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Besides, let's just say the pandemic didn't happen and none of this has really happened. Let's just say it's like a normal time. What would you say was like, oh man, this would have been unavoidable at this moment?
Honestly, I think for me, the hardest part was kind of doing the whole banking thing. When you're trying to get through the process of getting your loan, so you have to do predictions for the first 3 years. And I'm like, well, I have no idea. I don't know how many patients I'm going to see. Like, I have an idea that there are going to be a lot of patients that are in need of a dentist, but how quickly will they come? Will they want to come? Are they going to leave their other dentist? Because just because I see a new dentist show up doesn't mean I want to go see them. So that was really tough for me, trying to estimate those factors of there's that level of, one, self-doubt, two, just the unpredictability of people. You know, like, what are they going to do? Are they, I'd like to say they're going to come and see me, but will they really? Mm-hmm. Or they're going to tell me they're going to come and see me, but are they? So that was the hardest thing. And once that was done, once I signed my loan, from there, I was like, I'm in control. I get to figure out what to do. I get to figure out how to budget and how to spend my money. And at that point, it's up to me to figure out how to get the patients. It's not an abstract thing of, oh yeah, I'll have this number of patients by this date. It's, I got to get patients in the chair so that I can see them, so I can pay the bills that I have. And once it became that, it really wasn't a mind game anymore. It was more of, okay, this is physically something that I can do, I have to do. And it became easy.
Got you. Just to be like, I got to make this happen, right? Not like, oh, what if, because you're right. If I remember when, I mean, there's a lot of times where people are, they will tell you like, yeah, definitely. If you open your practice, ugh, I know tons of people who would go see you. I would go see you. And then it happens. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm busy right now. I can't, right? Or something occurs where you're like, what happened to all my people who are going to come? So.
And that's, I mean, that goes for anything too. It's like, yeah, we should hang out on a Friday night. And you can say that how long with one of your best friends before it actually happens. And now we're talking about committing to a dental appointment, which seems pretty, you know, insignificant in the grand scheme. But for some people, that's a big deal. Either they're scared of the dentist or, you know, it's just time out of their day when they're supposed to be at work or whatever the reason may be. It's human nature to not want to do it. Mm-hmm. So, or get busy and can't do it. So that becomes the unknown and the hard part.
Yeah, that's so true. And then how has all of this so far, because you said you have a four-year-old, how has this affected your personal life?
It's been hard in the sense that, you know, I was expecting to be able to get this all started and get it going while she was in preschool. Well, because of the pandemic, preschool was closed. So figuring out daycare already was hard enough. So she spent a lot of time in the building with me, just kind of doing stuff. Like, she painted my equipment room. She's like, Mommy, I want to help. Mommy, I want to help. So I gave her a paintbrush, and I was like, all right, paint the equipment room. No one's going to see it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You have to let go of that sense of perfectionism because you're just like, you know what? It is what it is. My husband works night, so, you know, he would sleep during the day. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I got to take her because he needs to get some rest because he's going to go back and do another 12-hour shift.
Wow.
So, you know, she was putting on electrical plates, a four-year-old with a screwdriver putting on electrical plates. And you're like, well, okay, this may not be the safest, but if I oversee it, I know it's going to take me 10 times as long to do one thing, but it's going to make her happy. It's going to get done. And everyone ends up winning no matter what.
So it's been,
so in terms of life, it honestly hasn't changed a whole lot other than she really was my shadow the entire time.
Yeah. But other than that, like that too, but how has this like affected you more in the sense of like yourself? Like, man, I've never felt this amount of stress before, or finally I feel like I'm able to do exactly what I want, or is it more like, I don't feel anything. It's whatever now.
It's not, you know, you can get yourself worked up and you can get stressed out or you can get excited. And yes, all those emotions are good things, but maintaining control of them and kind of just taking it as a task kind of helps for me because you don't overthink it. Because once you start overthinking things, you kind of lose sight of really what's important. Like, I could have looked at paint colors all day long, but I went to Sherwin-Williams at lunch one day. I picked out three colors. I decided from them. And I said, all right, this is what we're going to do. And I had my friend look at it and he was like, yep, this looks good. Okay. And it does. It looks, I've had compliments on my paint colors pretty much every person that's walked in. And I didn't think about it too much. I was like, yep, I like this color. I like this color. It's going to work. Let's make it work. So it's exactly what I want, but I can also manage if it wasn't.
Yeah. I like that because sometimes I feel like we get the people who are like, oh my God, this is, it has to be my dream. I'm going to be here for the rest of my life, right? And so everything has to be exactly the way it is at the get-go. But at the same time, it's like 10 years ago, I mean, I wore a pink shirt. I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, things change. I may not like it anymore. So
exactly.
That's why I like your viewpoint. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, right now, I don't hate it. I don't really love it. It could change. I might love it later on.
So I had bought, so like, for example, I had bought like these chairs and this couch for the waiting room. And I left one day and the two brand new girls were like, I think it'll look better like this and we should do this. And I said, all right, that's fine. It doesn't matter to me. As long as everyone's happy, that's honestly more important. The things are going to change. And if I have the same couch in here 30 years from now, that's going to be a problem. Because no one wants to be a girl couch. So it doesn't have to be perfect and it can change. As long as the staff is happy and that's what they want, that works for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. All right, Aaron. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
We are at 123 South Randolph Street in Lexington, Virginia.
Awesome, awesome. And do you have social media and your website already?
We do. It is LexingtonVASmiles.com.
Awesome. So that's going to be in the show notes below, everybody. If you want to check it out, reach out to Erin or just see how she's doing and everything like that, feel free to go in the show notes below and check it out. But Erin, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure and we'll hear from you soon.
Thank you.